Good morning, Summit Church. I'm glad to be here with you today on this Labor Day weekend and sharing the word of the Lord. And I have a message for you that talks about three loving relationships. And so we want to dig right into this today. I remember I was listening to a comedian that was talking about songs, and he shared the story about driving down the road one time and just scanning through on his radio. And he came across this song that was in the middle of being played on the radio, and he said, I really liked it. He says, the vibe of the song was really cool, and he says it sounded like a pop love song, and he says that, but the more I listened to it, and he says I started paying attention to the words, that it started. He said he began to realize that it was a Christian praise song, and he felt really tricked. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but a lot of our worship music in the church has shifted away from hymns that talk about the majesty of God to more personal, and they even sound like love songs. So I grew up singing hymns like How Great Thou Art and O Lord My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. That's a long ways away from a song like, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, a reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. There is a personal touch in our worship music today that is, I think some people who are hymn lovers have some degree of difficulty with those newer praise songs, because they are very intimate. They are very relational. And I think that there's a good balance between those two. I think we still need to be singing songs that express the wonder and the awe of who God is and His majesty and glory. But there is a personal relationship with God. And that's really, when we talk about, as we explore this three loving relationships, that's really the first one that we want to point to, is that God has invited us not to have just a obedient-based relationship with Him. He has invited us to have a loving relationship with Him. Jesus was asked a trick question in Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to go there and read through this passage. But He was asked a trick question. There were the religious rulers were trying to fool Him a little bit, catch Him off guard. And they were asking about the greatest commandment, the most important commandment in the law of Moses. And He points back to, He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and then He adds to it. So let's read that together. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 says this. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that He, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees with His reply, they met together to question Him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap Him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.' And then in verse 39, He says, 'A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the commands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.'" Notice that Jesus called them commandments. There are three loving relationships identified in this passage. The first one, as I just pointed out, is that we are called into a loving relationship with God. Other religions present a view of a human being's exchange with God as contractual. If you do this, then God will do that. This form of worship in other religions is impersonal. It requires acts of obedience, ritual, and humility that are meant to appease God or to gain His favor in some way, or that deity's favor. Christians are called to love God in response to His grace and kindness, which are the expressions of His love toward us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, John writes this. He's a very simple statement. He says, "We love Him because He first loved us." God first loved us, and then He invites us to love Him in return. We are called into a relationship with God that is built primarily on love. If you read in the New Testament, it records the story of Peter's denial of Christ. And after this abysmal failure after Peter runs off into the night in shame and just self-loathing over what he had done in denying Christ. Jesus, we find later on, meets Peter and the disciples on the beach. He's cooking them breakfast. And when he first sees Peter, so this is the first real exchange, personal exchange that Jesus had with Peter after Peter's denial. When Jesus first encounters Peter, he doesn't go to Peter and ask him about, well, where's your priorities, dude? You know, he doesn't say, you know, where's your commitment? Where's your loyalty? How come, you know, where's your obedience? No, Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? We are called and even commanded, if we're reading this correctly from Matthew 22, to love God. That means that our worship must have a focus to know Him, to esteem Him, and to delight in Him. So that's the first and most important is in our loving relationships is to love God. But there are two other loving relationships that we're finding in this passage. The second one is love for self. I really wanted to, as I was preparing this message, I wanted to deal with that last, because that's probably the most complicated in Christian terms for us to talk about self-love. But because Jesus uses it as a comparative reference to the way we ought to love others, it's really important that we define what self-love is here first. Self-love for the church has been, for a very long time, has been automatically associated with self-centeredness or conceit or pride. Self-attention can easily go toward narcissism and become what the Bible describes negatively as the attention to the flesh. But we do lose some important understandings about ourselves and about our being when we create a generalization that says that any attention to self is bad. This requires a second look at us from us, because Jesus is literally saying here that the commandment that is second, actually equal to the first of loving God, is that you love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. This is a long way from being a negative association. So what does it mean to be humble, to be unconceited? What does it mean to be unselfish and at the same time self-loving? We get a little bit of help on discovering the keys to that by looking at Paul's comparison of a loving relationship, or his description of a loving relationship with self, in Ephesians 5. In this passage, Paul is comparing how a husband should love his wife in the same way that he loves his own body. He defines this self-love by two actions. Look at them with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. The words that Paul uses here to define these two actions of self-love are important to us. The first one is the word feeds. It literally means to train up to maturity. We think about that when he says he feeds, that you're going to make sure you have lunch. And really, in the meaning in the Greek language, is that it means to feed is to train up to maturity. We might also call this personal development. The second word that he uses here is cares. So this means protection, attention to health and well-being, or what we might call personal care. So we have personal development and we have personal care. There is a danger on being too focused on yourself. Let me just say that really quickly before the pride police start issuing violations here. But you do need to properly attend to yourself. Some people pay so little attention to their personal development or their self-care that they end up being actually unable to have an effective loving relationship with God or to love others. Think of it like this, that it would be like you're caring for your aging and sick elderly father. And so you're running around, you're trying to juggle taking care of him with family and work, and you're eating fast food and you're just straining all the edges of your life or kind of becoming unfrayed or frayed as you're trying to do too much. And then you start getting the sniffles and then get a cold, and that cold quickly turns into pneumonia. And before you know it, you are sharing a skilled nursing facility. You're sharing a room with your dad, separated by a cubicle curtain. So if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not paying attention to personal development and personal care, it will inhibit your ability to care for and to bring that love, that level of love to others. The point is, you need to love yourself. Take care of yourself in terms of your well-being. Eat better, get exercise, build supportive relationships in your life, do activities that you enjoy, and add creativity and fulfillment to your life. And then pay attention to your personal growth and development. Deal with the pain in your past that is tending to trip you up, and try to find a way to move forward in that. Learn how to do new things. Practice your communication. I talk to people all the time. It's like, well, I don't talk so well. Well, you can figure that out. There's lots of ways for you to apply yourself to develop and to grow in skills that you don't have. Get better at things that you don't do so well right now. Get better at doing them over time. It's okay to pay attention to yourself as long as you resist becoming self-absorbed. And the most powerful way to build up that resistance is to keep a healthy, loving, worshipful relationship with God first, and then invest and serve in loving actions toward others. That will help to keep that equilibrium that you need from becoming self-absorbed. And then, so that leads us then to that third loving relationship. Jesus said that you are to love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. So we've been talking about, what do you do to love yourself? You care for your own well-being, and you pay attention to the development, your personal development as a human. So how do you love your neighbor? Well, do the same sorts of things. Care for their well-being and add to or encourage their development as people. I think that this is central to the way that Paul said for husbands to love their wives. That is my wife healthy? Is she being supported? Is she in supportive relationships? Is she doing things that she enjoys? Is she growing? Is she healing inwardly? Is she learning new things? Is she getting better at things that she's just okay at doing now? I need to be investing in that and making sure that she's encouraged to do those things. She needs to be supported in those things. So if we focus on those two things of helping people to in their self-care or to be cared for, and then if we're encouraging people in their personal development, it will help us from becoming, I think, the two traps that I've seen anyway, is that it'll help us from becoming saviors or hostages. If you see yourself as a savior to people, you imagine that you have the obligation to somehow fix them. You don't. You can't. And then caring about the well-being of your neighbor means that you seek to remind and encourage them in the same sorts of things that contribute to your own self-care. Asking a neighbor, are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting enough rest? Can I help you with that? Maybe you should get that checked out. Some people will share something about what's going on physically with their life, and it's like, okay, well, get that checked out. I don't want to see it, but please find somebody who does want to see it. Can I pray for you? And then when you pray for them, don't pray for everything just to be magically fixed in their life. Pray for wisdom and strength and courage that they need so that they can live well and healthy and secure. You can find yourself, so that's the saving actions of love, is that we want to fix everything, we want to make everything better. But on the other side of it, we can become a hostage to people's definition of love. And we have some really wild and wacky ideas of what love is in our culture today. And I think it was important to me as I prepared this, I think that we get stuck in this, we're held hostage to people's definitions of love. if people define love only in terms of accepting them and supporting them just the way they are, and not asking them or expecting them to grow, to change, to improve, or get better, that person will end up holding you hostage to a place of accepting them or supporting them. And they're not looking then for a relationship. They're looking for a recliner. They're looking for somebody who's just going to say, everything's okay with you just the way you are. And the scripture doesn't really call us into those kinds of loving relationships toward other people. God is not the author of confusion or chaos, and he certainly does not want people, I used to use this expression all the time, that Jesus loves you just the way you are. And it kind of sounds like Mr. Rogers, doesn't it? So Jesus loves you just the way you are, but the rest of that is, but he also loves you too much to leave you that way. And some of the self-destructive behaviors that people get into will lead them on a path to end up investing in or continuing in behaviors that are destructive to their life and to their future. So loving others as you love yourself means that you are interested in their personal development, that they're healing, that they're growing up, that they're learning new things, that they're taking things that were just okay and getting better. That's the Jesus kind of love, right? He loves us for who we are, and as I said, but he loves us way too much to leave us that way. We love others by being interested and supportive of their self-care and their personal development. That's the kind of love that's worth giving. It's worth the time, it's worth the energy, it's worth the sacrifice. Some of you have been caught in relationships where you're hostage to a person who says, you have to love me this way by accepting everything in my life as it is. And the sacrifices that go along with that are not worth the outcome. So we're called into a serving relationship and a loving relationship that wants improvement and looks for people to become better as they move forward in their life. Thinking that we can just throw love at a person like the government throws money at problems and then expecting something magical or transformational to happen is a false ideal. There is a futility in merely supporting and accepting the actions of someone who is harming themselves. So God wants to redeem those situations, not to facilitate people remaining in them. So let's sum this up today. When you have all three of these loving relationships working together in your life, you can see the symbiotic connection between them. Loving God includes self-love and loving others. Loving yourself requires love for God and love for others to keep you from becoming a narcissist. Loving others also requires the compelling love of God working in us and the balancing action of self-love so that you can love people over the long haul. So let me encourage you today to focus on your three loving relationships. Love God, delight in Him. He invites us into that relationship. Yes, we pay attention to obedience and humility and some ritual. There's practices of our faith, but those are all kind of grouped in and under this heading of loving God. So love Him, delight in Him. Love others, serve their best selves and bring them and encourage them into self-love. Take care of yourself, take care of your body, take care of the needs that you have. See to it that you're growing as a human being so that you can live the kind of life that Jesus has called us all to live, to be advancing, to be growing, to be changing, and to be impacting the world around us. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you do call us into a loving relationship, that you want us to delight in you and to experience all the goodness of your majesty and your greatness, but in a personally impacting way. Father, I pray that you would teach us to be better at self-love, that you would guard us against the natural leaning of our souls to take care of ourselves and to get self-absorbed, but that you would give us the freedom and to give us the wisdom to know how to pay attention to our own self-care and our own self-development. And Father, would you give us a greater wisdom and strength to be able to serve the needs of those around us. There's a ton of people who are hurting and confused, especially in these days. And you are desiring to mobilize your church to affect change and goodness and love and mercy and kindness into the lives of those around us. And so would you enable us to do that, but balanced in these loving relationships? We ask you to empower your church with your love. In Christ's name, amen.